So we've been looking at friendship. Last week we talked about friendship. We were in John 15. So if you missed it, you can go back and read about John 15, where Jesus said, I'm also wanting to call you friends. And Jesus' love for his friends. And so today we're looking at friendship again. And so I think in some ways it's no coincidence that Bill and Jenny are sharing about friendship, about relationships, and about our lives and how there's a mixture of happiness and joy and also sorrow and heartache. And this text kind of also relays both. So we're going to have that cup up there. And so today we're going to look at friendship from another angle in John chapter 11. So if you have your Bible app on your phone or your hard copy Bible with you, you can look with me. But I want to just highlight as we start that Jesus, in the beginning of this passage, says to his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. So that's what's implied here, right, is Jesus is calling Lazarus his friend, and he's also calling Lazarus a friend to his group with him. And so the disciples aren't understanding him, thinking, what do you mean he's falling asleep? You're going to go wake him up. So Jesus more bluntly says, no, he's died. We're going to go and support the family. So the scene here is that Jesus is showing up to a time of great loss. And we know from the beginning of John 11 that Jesus loved Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. So this was a family. They were brothers and sisters. And if you read through one of the whole Gospels, Mary was the one who would sit at Jesus' feet and be taught, which was very countercultural for the day, that Jesus was encouraging women to learn as well as the men. Martha was the sister who was known for being the cook and the one who was really tending to Jesus' physical needs, which I can imagine he really needed. Jesus was really focused on ministry, and so someone who would wait on him and make sure he had somewhere to eat and somewhere to sleep was probably an amazing blessing of friendship for Jesus. And Lazarus was this dear friend. So when Jesus shows up on the scene and goes to Bethany to go to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, he meets Martha first. Martha goes out to greet him. And Martha immediately begins to express her sorrow. She greets him with, Lord, if you had been here, if you had been here. I don't know if you've ever played the what if game in your life. If only I had, if only so and so, right? The if only game. And I want to highlight that both Martha and Mary in this scripture, their immediate first sentence out of their mouth to Jesus, if you had been here. So I just want to raise for us that Mary and Martha did not hide their disappointment in Jesus. They didn't hide their sorrow that they had lost their brother, and they didn't hide that they thought that if Jesus had been there with them, Jesus could have healed their brother. Because they had known for a while now, right? They knew what Jesus was all about. They knew Jesus could perform miracles and had performed miracles of healing. And so there was this immediate thought in their heart and in their mind when they saw Jesus. Oh, Jesus, if only you had been here. So interesting, Jenny, that you are sharing about moments of sorrow in your testimony, because here is a moment where two friends of Jesus are talking to him about their sorrow. And so one thing on a pastoral care level I want to say to you, if you have ever experienced, or in your future, when you experience grief and loss and discouragement and disappointment, I think Mary and Martha give us a good template of it's okay to talk to Jesus when we feel loss. It's okay to say to Jesus, I don't understand why this happened this way. Because we see this, and we see Jesus here being very gracious to his friends, Martha and Mary. Mary greets him, falls at his feet, and says the same thing. And so there's this great turmoil. Jesus, I think, saw in their statement, if you had been here, it could have been different. I think he also saw in Mary and Martha faith. Because in some ways, it shows disbelief, the question. But in the other way, it shows some great faith, meaning lack of faith in that, oh, if you had just been here, why weren't you here, right? But on the other sense, there was this statement in that sense of, Jesus, I recognize you have power and you could have done something. And I don't know if you've experienced this. I've experienced this. Sometimes I pray for someone and something happens, right? I can testify that God heals today and has done miraculous things. And yet there's mystery. Sometimes I pray for someone and they still get sicker. And sometimes they get more sick. What's the English there? More sick, sicker. Anyway, somebody who speaks English can look that up. And so there's a mystery in why sometimes we pray for a loved one and they die. And that's this story, right? Mary and Martha were so heartbroken that their brother had died. And I want to just bring us into how Jesus responded to the moment of grief. Jesus, being fully God and fully man, responded to the moment of grief by giving us the shortest passage in the Bible. The shortest passage in the Bible is an action, and it's simply Jesus wept. So what did Jesus do with his friends at a moment of loss? He wept with them. He joined them in solidarity with the struggle. He didn't run from the suffering. He went right to it, and he shared in it. And for me, that's a great comfort, that in Scripture we see that Jesus knows what it's like to lose a loved one, a friend, and embrace that grief. Jesus was overwhelmed with grief. He too wept. But that's not the end of the story, because Jesus then goes on and asks Martha to have them roll away the stone. So here's the context. Lazarus had died. They buried him in a cave, right? In the Middle East, it's very hot. It's very dry. They rolled a stone over the mouth of the cave, which is the burial place. And the scripture said that Lazarus had been dead 4 days. So 4 days in hot weather, those of you who are science-minded, the body starts to sticketh. The body starts to decompose. And so Martha at this moment kind of protests, kind of pushes back to Jesus and says, Jesus, are you sure? He's been dead for 4 days now. Do we need to roll the stone away? And Jesus challenges his friend Martha and said, did I not say to you that if you believed, you would see the power of God? And so then Jesus does this very astounding thing, and he calls Lazarus from the dead. And the end of this passage here says that Lazarus came out of the grave with his hands and his feet bound in linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to some of the other friends beside him, "Go to Lazarus and unbind him and let him go." So there's a lot, right, that could be said in that. I think one thing that's very telling here is that Jesus brought Lazarus to life, saying in a very loud and profound way through his actions that he is just as he said he is when he said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will not die but have eternal life." So what Jesus was saying in that was he was claiming to be God, he was claiming to have power over death, and he was saying to people, if you believe in me, though you die, you will live. So it's a teaching on the resurrection of life, after life. So for the Christian, for someone in Christ, this is a great hope and a great, I would say, joyful looking ahead. I was thinking of that just sitting here. And this may sound kind of morbid to some, but this is how I think. I hope Bill and Jenny will come back to our church in a few months, and I'll get to hear one of Bill's great jokes, and I'll get to hear Jenny's beautiful voice singing in the worship service, right? I look forward to that. I also look forward to being around the throne of God for eternity and getting to hear Jenny's beautiful voice and looking across and seeing Bill's cheesy smile and having more time together, because there is this belief, this faith, this anticipation of this life is not the only life. There's more life ahead, eternal life. And so that's a great joy. And I also want to point out that Jesus, in the miracle, he involved other people. He involved his friends. And I believe that Jesus often involves us to be part of the miracle. So I think in this is a call of Jesus wants to be our friend, right? We talked about that last week. But Jesus also wants you to be a friend to others, and you to be a friend to others and be part of the healing work. Jesus didn't just heal Lazarus. He asked friends to go unbind him. Jesus didn't just heal Lazarus. He asked friends to roll away the stone. He involved people in this great healing work. And I think this is a good word about friendship, of how Jesus loved, how Jesus enters into suffering. And I will say, as someone who's walked with God for a while, followed Jesus for a while, I don't understand sometimes what Jesus is up to. Mary and Martha in this scripture did not understand the timing of Jesus, right? He didn't come right away. He came after he had died. And yet, Lazarus, Jesus' dear friend, got to be a part of one of the most amazing miracles recorded in the scripture. And to think about maybe Jesus trusting Lazarus to be a part of that miracle, and trusting his friends, Mary and Martha, to be a part of that miracle, that though they didn't understand everything of what Jesus was up to, Jesus, seeing the bigger picture, brought this amazing end to this story. And sometimes in our lives, there are things that happen that aren't the way we want it. And this is a truth about Jesus. Jesus invites us to be friends with him. But Jesus also is not just our friend. He is also the Lord. He is also the Son of God. He is also the beginning and the end, who sees the bigger picture. And so when I reduce Jesus to, you need to make my life work for me, Jesus, you need to answer everything how I like it, it doesn't usually work out that way. Because Jesus loves me, but he also loves the world. He loves others, and he sees a bigger picture. So there's this invitation, I think, in this passage of an invitation to start to embrace some of the mystery in life when bad things happen and we don't understand, but to keep pressing in. And I would say there's an invitation in here if you ever struggle with doubt, discouragement, sadness, loss, disappointment, to share it with Jesus. Jesus, if you had been here. Jesus, I know you were powerful and you didn't heal. And Jesus, your friend, will comfort you and share your pain. And Jesus, your Lord, will guide you through that season to a kind of resurrection. It may be a physical one. It may be a spiritual one. It may be something that looks in all forms.